Chapter 2. The Shadow. The screams of pain bouncing around the cement walls are getting a tad annoying. Sometimes it sucks being the hacker and the enforcer. I really fucking enjoy hurting people, but tonight I have no goddamn patience for this whiny asshole. And normally I have the patience of a saint. I know how to wait for what I want most. But when I'm trying to get some real answers and the dude's too busy shitting his pants and crying to give me a coherent response, I get a little testy. This knife is about to go halfway through your eyeball, I warn. I'm not even going to show you any mercy and shove it all the way through to your brain. Fuck, man, he cries. I told you that I just went to the warehouse a few times. I don't know anything about some fucking ritual. So, you're useless is what you're saying, I surmise, inching the blade towards his eye. He squeezes them shut as if skin that's no thicker than a centimeter is going to prevent the knife from going through his eye. Fucking laughable. No, 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 he pleads. I know someone there that might be able to give you more information. Sweat drips down his nose, mixing with the blood on his face. His overgrown greasy blonde hair is matted to his forehead and the back of his neck. Guess it's not actually blonde anymore since most of it's painted red. No, I had already cut off one of his ears along with ripping off 10 of his fingernails, severed both Achilles' heels, a couple of stab wounds in specific locations that won't allow the fucker to bleed out too quickly, and too many broken bones to count. Dickhead won't be getting up and walking out of here, that's for damn sure. Less crying, more talking, I bark, scraping the tip of the knife against his still closed eyelid. He cringes away from the knife, tears bubbling out from beneath his lashes. His name is Fernando. He's one of the operation leaders in charge of sending out mules to help capture the girls. He's a big deal in the warehouse, B basically runs the whole thing there. Fernando what? I snap. He sobs. I don't know, man, he wails. He just introduced himself as Fernando. Then what does he look like? I grind out impatiently through gritted. He sniffles, snot leaking down his chapped lips. Mexican, bald, has a scar cutting across his hairline and a beard. Can't miss the scar, it's pretty fucked looking. I roll my neck, groaning as the muscles pop. It's been a long fucking day. Cool, thanks, man, I say casually as if I haven't been torturing him slowly for the past 3 hours. His breathing calms and he looks up at me through ugly brown eyes, hope radiating from them in spades. I almost laugh. Why you're letting me go? He asks, staring up at me like a goddamn stray puppy dog. Sure, I chirp. If you can get up and walk. He looks down at his severed heels, knowing just as well as I do if he stands, his body will go pitching forward. Please, man, he blubbers. Can you help me out here? I nod slowly. Yeah, I think I can do that, I say right before I swing my arm back and plunge the entirety of my knife through his pupil. He dies instantly. Not even all the hope has vanished from his eyes yet. Or rather, his one eye. You're a child rapist, I say aloud, though he's no longer capable of hearing me. Like I'd let you live, I finish on a laugh. I slide my knife from the socket, the suction noise threatening to ruin any dinner plans I had in the next several hours. Which is annoying cause I'm hungry. While I do enjoy myself a good torture session, I'm definitely not a dickhead that gets off on the sounds that accompany it. The gurgling, slurping, and other weird noises bodies make when enduring extreme pain and foreign objects being plunged into them is not a soundtrack I'd ever fall asleep to. And now for the worst part, dismembering it into bits and pieces and disposing of them properly. I don't trust other people to do it for me, so I'm stuck with the tedious, messy job. I sigh. What is that saying? If you want it done right, do it yourself? Well, in this case, if you don't want to get caught and charged for murder, dispose of the body yourself. It feels like 10 o'clock at night, but it's only 5 p.m. As fucked as it is. After dealing with human body parts, I'm in the mood for a mean-ass burger. My favorite burger joint is right off of 3rd Avenue and not too far of a drive from my house. Parking is a bitch in Seattle, so I'm forced to park a few blocks away and walk there. A storm is rolling in and soon sheets of rain will be descending on our heads and shoulders like ice picks, typical Seattle weather. I whistle an unnamed tune as I walk down the street, passing shops and an array of stores with people bustling in and out like a bunch of worker ants. Ahead of me there's a bookstore lit up, the warm glow shining onto the cold, wet pavement and inviting passers-by into its warmth. As I near, I notice it's packed full of people. I spare it a single glance before moving on. I don't care about fiction books, I only read the ones that are going to teach me something.
Particularly about computer science and hacking. By now there's nothing those books can teach me anymore. Mastered and then surpassed it. As I'm turning my head to look at some other shit, my eyes get caught up. On a board right outside the bookstore, a smiling face beaming back at me. Without permission, my feet slow until they're glued to the cement. Sidewalk. Someone bumps into me from behind, their smaller stature. Barely knocking me forward, but it does manage to jolt me out of the weird trance I fell into anyway. I turn to glare at the enraged guy behind me, their mouth opening and gearing up to cuss me out, yet the second he gets one look at my scarred face, he takes off into a half-walk, half-run. I'd laugh if I weren't so distracted. Before me is a picture of an author that's hosting a book signing. She's fucking incredible. Long, wavy cinnamon hair brushed over dainty shoulders. Creamy ivory. Skin with freckles dotting her nose and cheeks. Light and sporadic without overwhelming her innocent face. Her eyes are what draw me in. Sultry, slanted eyes, the type that always looks seductive without trying. They're nearly the same color as her hair. Brown so light it's unusual. One look from this girl and any man would be on their knees. Her lips are pouty and pink, stretched into a radiant smile with straight white teeth. I note the name below the picture. Adeline Riley. A beautiful name fit for a goddess. She doesn't have that plastic beauty you see lining the magazine rack. Though she could easily make it on one of those covers without Photoshop and surgery, her features are natural. I've seen a lot of beautiful women in my life. Fucked a lot too. But something about her captivates me. Feels like a hurricane is at my back, pushing me towards her and leaving no room for resistance. My feet are carrying me into the bookstore, my black boots soaking the welcome mat at the entrance. The only lingering scent filling the air is one you attain from used books. Though convoluted from the large group of people congesting the area, this small structure wasn't built to house more than the 10 large bookshelves lining the left side of the room, the small checkout desk on the right side, and maybe 30 people. Now there's a large table in the middle of the room where the author sits, and at least double the occupancy limit packed in the stuffy store. It's too hot in here. Too crowded. And one asshole beside me keeps picking his nose, his dirty hand touching all over the book he's holding. I glimpse Riley on the cover. Poor girl. Forced to sign a book that probably has boogers all over it. I open my mouth, ready to tell the fucker to stop looking for treasure in his nostrils when it feels like heaven's gates open up. In that second, the people in front of us seem to part at the perfect angle, providing me with a clear view. I only see her from the corner of my eye at first, but the small glimpse is enough to send my heart into a tailspin. My head turns like one of those creepy bitches in an Exorcist movie. Slow, but instead of an evil smile, I'm sure I look like I just found out that there's evidence the earth is actually flat or some shit, because that's also fucking laughable. Oxygen, words, coherent thoughts, all that shit escapes me when I get my first look at Adeline Riley in the flesh. She's even more exquisite in person. The sight of her has my knees weakening and my pulse racing. I don't know if God really exists. I don't know if mankind has ever walked on the moon. Nor do I know if parallel universes exist. But what I do know is that I just found the meaning of life sitting behind a table with an awkward smile on her face. Taking a deep breath, I find a spot against the wall in the back. I don't want to get too close yet. No, I want to watch her for a while. So I stay in the back, peeking through dozens of heads to get a good look at her. Thank God for my height, because I'd probably barrel through everybody if I were short. A tall, willowy woman hands my new obsession a microphone, and for a brief moment, the latter looks like she's ready to bolt. She stares at the mic, as if the woman is handing over a severed head. But the look is gone in seconds, barely there before she slides her mask in place. And then she snatches the microphone and brings it to her wobbly lips. Before we start, fuck, her voice is pure smoke. The kind you really only hear in porn videos. I suck in my bottom lip, biting back a groan. I lean against the wall and watch her, absolutely enthralled with the little creature before me. Something inexplicably dark arises in my chest. It's black and evil and cruel. Dangerous even. All I want to do is break her. Shatter her into pieces. And then arrange those pieces to fit against my own. I don't care if they don't fit. I'll fucking make them. And I know I'm about to do something bad. I know that I'm going to cross lines that I will never be able to come back from, but there's not an ounce of me that gives a fuck, because I'm obsessed. I'm addicted. And I will gladly cross every single line if it means making this girl mine. It means forcing her to be mine. My mind has already been made up, the decision fortifying like granite in my brain. At that moment, her wandering eyes slide right onto mine, clashing with a force that nearly sends my knees to the ground. Her eyes round in the corners ever so slightly, as if she's just as enraptured by me as I am by her. And then the reader before her is pulling her attention away, and I know I need to leave now before I do something stupid like kidnap her in front of at least 50 witnesses. No matter. She won't be able to escape me now. I've just found myself a little mouse, and I won't stop until I've trapped